Well, good morning again. I want to start us off this morning with a top five list, one of those top five lists, but this is going to be a top eight list. It's a top list of things, top eight list of things that we would hear in the church if the church ever became perfect. First one is, hey, it's my turn to sit in the front pews. Step one. Number two, I was so enthralled, I never noticed that your sermon went 25 minutes longer today. Number three, personally, I find witnessing much more enjoyable than golf. I'm not a golfer, though, but some people, Darren's not here this morning, but that'd probably fit him. Number four, who is teaching the middle school kids at youth group tonight? Please let it be me. Number five, I love it when we sing new worship songs in church that I never heard before. Number six, since we're all here early, let's start church now. Number seven, nothing inspires me more than when the pastor gives a sermon on tithing. And number eight, Pastor, we took up an offering to send you to a church seminar in Hawaii. That would make a perfect church. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I have more, but we need to move on. As funny as these are, enthusiasm from Christians about the church is important to God. In order to have enthusiasm in the church, we need to understand a vision, the vision for the church, and get behind that vision that God has given the church by allowing the Holy Spirit to work through each of us to move us forward with the vision that God has given the church. Now, here at Living Hope Community Church, we do indeed have a church vision that I believe with all my heart God has given us. You know, it's up on the screen every Sunday morning, so I won't share it again, but because I'm just hoping that y'all read it every Sunday morning before we start service. But, you know, simply writing out a church vision will mean nothing unless there is enthusiasm and a fire within us throughout the church to get behind this vision. So the question that I have for us today in the church is this: are we visionaries in the church, or are we simply stationary? Christians in the church need to be visionaries, or at least have a few visionaries to help the rest of the church catch fire for where God is leading us. You know, John Wesley once said, "Catch fire and people will come for miles to see you burn." Wesley was referring to having this fire within us from the Holy Spirit within every Christian to do the work that God has called his church to do. Now, fortunately, most churches do indeed have a few visionaries in leadership. If they weren't visionaries, they probably wouldn't be in leadership to begin with. The problem, though, is even if the church has a few visionary leaders within it, there is only so much that these leaders can do. They need others in the church to catch fire for the vision as well. But the sad thing that happens often with these visionary leaders in the church is they get burnt out if they can't get others behind where God is leading them and leading the church. And it's interesting that we use this term burnout in the church. I hear that often in church circles, and it's sad. It's sad because the fire that is within many of these leaders has been given to them by the Holy Spirit himself. And if that burns out in the leaders, the local church comes to a halt. That's very sad. So how do we receive this fire to become visionaries, all of us, visionaries for God or from God? You know, there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Now, when I read this verse, I'm initially thinking that God is simply talking about believers who fail to keep the law of God, will then cast off all restraints and do whatever they want to do, which is mainly sin. And we can certainly read that verse and understand that verse this way. However, there is something deeper that God wants us to understand about this verse here. God is saying, if we do not receive a revelation from him, we either will flail in the wind doing whatever we feel like doing, or I argue many people will just stand still doing nothing, which can also lead to sin. You know, King David, the man after God's own heart, King David fell into this trap, and he suffered for it for many years. David had a very good start at obeying, serving, and following God. He was God's anointed one. David did almost everything right up to the point where he stopped doing what God was leading him to do. He stopped listening. You can say that David got lazy. Listen to what it says here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 3 about David. It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of his palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't that Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah, the Hittite? Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, I am pregnant. Now, if you haven't read further about this account referring to David, let me tell you, David did even worse things than sleeping with another man's wife and getting her pregnant. He tried covering it up by sending Bathsheba's husband away to the front lines on a major battle so he would be killed. But what started all this? How did such an obedient and faithful godly man fall like he did, becoming an adulterer and even a murderer? Do you know what it was? David got lazy. Right in verse 1, it says, David, being the king, was supposed to go out with his men fighting for God. But David sent someone else to do what he was supposed to be doing. You see, this is really what that verse that we read in Proverbs is all about. When God gives us a revelation or a vision, he's telling us to do something about it, to not stand still, to not get lazy. Because when we stand still, like David did, we start disobeying God in even more ways than we can ever imagine doing before. The enemy loves when we get lazy. He will come in and tempt you in ways like you never thought you would be tempted before. But when you're faithful and doing what God is telling you to do, it's very, very difficult for the enemy to come against you. From a biblical perspective, the word revelation simply means receiving some type of previously unknown disclosure from God. It is seeing something that we couldn't see before, but now God is revealing it to us. And once we receive this revelation, God expects his people to move towards what he has shown them to go do. That is really what vision, a church vision, is all about. Now, before I was appointed lead pastor at this church, our district superintendent didn't really give me a long interview for this job. Now, the church board did, but not our DS. Our DS simply asked me one question, before making a recommendation to the church board on whether they should hire me as lead pastor or not. His question to me was this: what is the vision God has given to you for Living Hope Community Church? Now, I consider that I have grown in some wisdom over the years, so I knew that I couldn't just give our DS an answer to his question right away. So I told our DS to give me a few days to pray about that question on vision. And then I would respond back to him. Because of the godly man that I know our former DS is, I knew that is what he was hoping to hear. He didn't want an answer right away. That I would go off and pray about that before giving him an answer on vision for the church. Because the truth is, my vision, my personal vision for the church is not what is needed for this church. It's God's vision for the church that matters. It's God's revelation for Living Hope Community Church that matters. So I went away and I prayed, and God did indeed give me the vision. It wasn't something like God speaking to me like God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. I thought that would be cool, but he didn't. Or Apostle John being brought up to heaven to write the book of Revelation. It wasn't that dramatic. But as I prayed, God showed me by reminding me of the work that he was already doing through this church, by reaching families through all generations, both elderly, middle-aged, teens, children, all of generations. God reminded me that he is a father who wants to adopt every family in this community into his family as we make discipleship the most important part of this church, and that all ages are important to God, all generations. That sort of summarizes our vision. That as a church, we need to do all we can by following the leading of the Holy Spirit to reach families that are hurting in this community and need God, so we can help raise up a generation of new believers who will be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has already began that work. And all we have to do now is continue to follow that vision, relying on the Holy Spirit as the fire burns within us. Now, if I was to ask you, who do you consider to be a visionary? Who comes to your mind? You know, when I think about this question, I think of a person like President John F. Kennedy, who had a vision, and I don't think it was from God, but it was a vision still, that our country would send a man to the moon during his presidency. This was all the way back in the 1960s. They didn't really have the technology to get a man, or they didn't think they did, to get a man to the moon and back safely. The phones you carry around in your pockets have more computer processing power than the computers did back then. People back then thought at first that this was crazy. This was a crazy idea to send a man to the moon and get them safely back. But you see, President Kennedy cast a vision upon a nation anyway. With enthusiasm, Kennedy believed that we could do it. And the nation then rallied behind this president to make it happen. I also think of a man like Martin Luther King Jr., who had a dream that as a nation, we would no longer judge a man or a woman by the color of their skin. Believe it or not, that was a radical idea back then. I wasn't alive back then. I was born in 1971. Still old, but not that old. But it was a radical idea that many people in this country fought against. But Martin Luther King Jr. cast a vision upon a nation, not only with enthusiasm, but with conviction. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed because of that conviction that he had and that vision that he set forward, which I do believe was a vision given to him by God in that case. And he set fire on the nation, not literally, but people. And that civil rights movement continues to move forward to this day. These examples I just shared, except for in the case of probably Martin Luther King, are just visions cast from a human perspective. But when God casts a vision, it puts a fire that underneath, especially the believers, to move us forward. And greater things happen, even greater things than sending a man to the moon. So let's talk just a moment about vision and what it is and what it is not. Let's start about what vision isn't. Vision isn't mission. These two terms often get confused, not just in the church, but when I was in the business world, they always confuse these two terms, mission and vision. When I was in the military, I'll give you an example of mission. Our mission was pretty simple. Our mission was to defend the interests of the United States of America and promote freedom to our allies around the world. But that wasn't the vision. Again, it was just our mission. Now, I was in the Air Force, and our vision, according to our Air Force leaders, which was drilled in our head from the time of basic training, was that we were going to be the greatest Air Force powered by airmen and fueled by innovation, and we were always to aim high. That was our vision. And they made sure we knew that vision. Every single day, they reminded us of it. You see, Jesus gave us a mission. The mission was to spread the good news and is to spread the good news of the gospel around the world and make new disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's our mission. But you see, we have to know how to do it. We have to know how to get there. How do we fulfill this mission given to us by God? That's the vision. That's where vision comes into play. So let's get the easy part out of the way concerning vision. We will never meet our vision, just like David, if we're just standing still. We need to move forward towards where God is leading us. But we need to know where we're moving forward to. Where are we going? Someone has to show us. Someone has to show us the way. Now, before I was pastor, I sat on the church board quite a few years back when Pastor Daryl, who is here, was the lead pastor here. And something Daryl said to the church board one day concerning vision has always stuck with me as a leader. Daryl gave us an illustration on what vision is. Daryl said since he was the lead pastor, it was his job to make sure that we stayed on course to where Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was leading the church. Daryl used the illustration of him as the lead pastor climbing up a tree to look over the horizon and point the church where we needed to go. If we were heading in the wrong direction, Daryl would point it out to us and get us back on course. Daryl said if he ever got down from that tree, it was the job of the rest of the people on the church board and even in the congregation to push him back up the tree. Because the church body was counting on the lead pastor as the lead pastor was counting on the Holy Spirit to lead the way. You see, the vision for the church has already been cast. We know where we're supposed to go, but we need to know how to get there. Sometimes we need a change of direction. You see, when you drive around Spokane, you know that sometimes directions need to change due to road work or an accident. You need a good navigator when that happens. Today, we have our cell phones with GPS. In my case, I have my wife in the car who tells me I'm going the wrong way. In the church, we have leadership, starting with me as the lead pastor, then the assistant pastor, Kai, and other ministry leaders, and of course the church board. So first off, concerning vision, God uses people to create change. Directions for vision do change, and God uses people to bring about that change. Even in the Bible, directions changed. For instance, the Apostle Peter was commissioned by God to bring the gospel to the Jewish people around Jerusalem. Now, that was not an easy task for Peter. The Jewish people, they were stuck in their traditions. Peter himself was even stuck in many of those traditions. For instance, Peter still participated in all the Jewish religious ceremonial laws, such as not eating forbidden food like pork or shellfish. The Jewish people thought if they kept these ceremonial laws that somehow they were going to be made right with God. Now, Peter knew better than that because he already has put his faith in Jesus Christ. He saw the risen Christ. He knew what salvation was all about, who salvation was in. Peter knew better. But Peter was still stuck in those traditions. So God gave Peter a revelation or a vision that these ceremonial laws were just being a hindrance to the people finding faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation. And it was the gospel that was for them. But it wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the non-Jews, the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 9, it says, "About noon the following day they were on their journey and approaching the city. Peter went up on the roof to pray." That's a good thing to take note of. He prayed. Remember that. "He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened up and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, 'Get up, Peter, eat, kill, and eat.' 'Surely not, Lord,' Peter replied. 'I have never eaten anything unpure, impure, or unclean.'" I want to stop there for a second. Have you ever said that to God? "Surely not. I can't do that. I wasn't raised that way." And I'm not talking about sin here, by the way. I'm talking about our traditions or what makes us feel comfortable or something we've never done before. "Surely not, Lord." That's what Peter was doing. "I can't do that." You see, just because you think something is normal or just because you think something is right in your own eyes, God knows better when he tells you to do something. To do something different. Anyway, let's continue on in these verses. Then it says, "The voice spoke to him a second time. 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about this vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them.'" Now, there's a lot in these verses to unpack, but to summarize, Peter was previously told to go bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jewish people. So the whole idea of eating unclean food to Peter as a faithful Jew was unheard of. But it was also unheard of for Peter, being a faithful Jew, that somehow Jesus was for not just the Jew, but for the Gentile. And now God is telling him, Peter, I need you to change direction. My plan is bigger than yours. My thoughts are bigger than your thoughts or on how things you think should go. You see, God is taking Peter out of his comfort zone to reach more people for Jesus Christ. So God gives Peter a vision and tells Peter where to go. And notice at the end of these verses, God says, "Do not hesitate. Go." You see, when God calls us out of our comfort zone, it may cause us to hesitate. We have to resist the hesitation and just do as God says. You know, God has given this church and the leadership here some big plans this coming fall. I sometimes, I admit, want to hesitate. Because some of these plans, I have no idea where the money's coming from to move forward with these plans. I don't know if we will have enough workers to carry out these plans. And I admit I'm a little scared about some of these plans. So I continue to pray over all of that. But what I do know God is saying, He's saying, go. Don't hesitate. Trust me. The three plans to move forward with this vision of this church is reopening the preschool, which my wife is doing, and that's a pretty big task for her. So be praying for her. Ministering and serving the foster families who meet monthly at this church. I've been talking with Sadra, and she's been putting together plans for that ministry, not just the people that meet here, but how we reach more. And she's been talking to foster families already around the community. And then we're going to open up a community garden. That's a pretty big task. To serve, to give food to the Valley Partners down the street, and just help people that are living in apartments and living in the, there's a senior home down the street, just giving them the opportunity to garden. And we also have some other things about some of the foster kids. We're talking about doing therapy gardening for these kids that can come in and do therapy and do that kind of stuff and that kind of work. Serving our community. And, you know, those are the three things. And I'm always told by senior leadership, Mike, don't do too much. And that's true. So I got to be careful not to do too much. But we have to do something. And so that's where we're going to start. We need to be a church that says yes. Yes, Lord, we'll do it. We don't know how. We don't know how you're going to provide, but we're going to move forward in faith. The point is, God uses leaders in the church to cast vision on where God is leading us. Peter had people in his church follow the vision God gave Peter. Throughout history of the church, God has given a vision to leaders to create change. In the 16th century, God gave a man by the name of Martin Luther a vision that the church had fallen away from the truth that salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ, not by works or penance. And Martin Luther had to move boldly. His life was threatened. He had to move boldly forward and stand up to this fallen church, which began the reformation of the church. You know, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Martin Luther following the vision that God gave him. John Wesley received a vision from God that the church lost focus on holiness, that holiness comes through faith alone, by loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart and others with all our heart. The Wesleyan church would not be here today if it wasn't for a man like John Wesley, who obeyed and followed the vision given to him by God. God's word and mission never change, but how we fulfill that mission through vision has to change. Our church is in a community, thankfully, filled with many Bible-believing churches. There are many good churches in this community doing good work for God. And praise God for that. But what does God want for this church? Where does He want us to go? What does He want us to do? That's where our vision comes into play. And Jesus is expecting us to move forward, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, the last point we need to understand about vision is that God goes ahead and prepares the way. Remember I said Daryl being up on the tree? That's what I'm trying to do as well. I need to know where the Holy Spirit's leading us. I can't tell us, if you guys are relying on me to show you the way, we're going to go some crazy spots. Okay, I have to be relying on the Holy Spirit to show me where we're going. That's good news. Because I have no idea what pitfalls or obstacles lie ahead for us. But you see, God knows. He sees it all. So we should never get out in front or ahead of the Holy Spirit's leading, not just for the church, but even for our own personal lives. Or we risk falling into a pit. As I said, direction for vision can change, but it doesn't change often. But God can change direction on a vision for a church, depending on the community that we live in, the culture around us, or even the obstacles ahead of us. Now, that doesn't mean that God changed his mind about what is right. It simply means situations, people, and even the culture around us does change. So we need to be prepared on how to effectively reach people with the truth in the community and culture that God has placed us in. This is why we need to be in prayer often in this church. You see, I require every person on the leadership team, which is mainly just me, Aaron, and Kai, but I require us to be at every prayer group meeting on Wednesday night. I don't have a large staff, but it's very important that every person in leadership is praying and is at that prayer meeting. It's the most important job for any person on the leadership staff to do. The reason I require my leadership team to be there is so God will show us the way, because the church is counting on leadership to be heading in the right direction. And only God can lead us there. I don't want, for instance, my assistant pastor and youth pastor veering off in some other direction without God's leading, even if it seems like it's a good direction to go in. This also applies to me, and it applies to Aaron as well, and every person that's in leadership. We need to know where God is leading us. We need to be in prayer often. And guess what? So does everyone else in the church. And again, not just for the church, but for your own personal lives. You don't want to get ahead of the Holy Spirit's leading, because it goes to bad spots sometimes, many times. Over the past decade or so, there has been this movement in the American church called the seeker-friendly movement. The thinking behind this movement is to make it comfortable for people walking in through the church doors. In many cases, this has caused the church to water down God's truth and his word so people wouldn't feel uncomfortable. And I argue that this has happened because for a large portion of the church in America, it got ahead of the Holy Spirit's leading. They thought they were doing something good. And there were some good things that came out of the seeker-friendly movement, such as not getting so caught up in traditions, like singing your old favorite hymns in church, because it's not the style of songs that matter. It's who the object of our worship is towards, which is Jesus Christ. So there were some good things that we need to make. It's not like we don't want people to feel uncomfortable, you know, for the sake of feeling uncomfortable, but we have to share truth in love. You know, Peter was told to change directions. He was told to change traditions. But Peter never got ahead of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I said, remember pray? Peter was up on the roof praying. He prayed before moving forward. And in our church here at Living Hope, we too have built traditions. Traditions are not all bad. And some traditions are even given directly to us by God that we'll never get rid of, because they're commands by God for us to do. But we need to know the culture that God has placed us in and speak their language, understand their hardships without judgment, in order to give people in the culture the truth and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not making the claim that all change is good. The church needs to be discerning, which starts with prayer and continues through prayer and continues through reading God's word every single day of our lives. But through any change, we need to always make sure that God is leading in power, because that's where the power is found, through the Holy Spirit. So in conclusion, I want us to leave us just with this. There's a lot of negativity about the church and our culture today. This negativity is not just coming from outside the church. I'm also hearing a lot of negativity from inside the church as well. We often hear how ineffective the church has become. We hear that the church is no longer relevant. I even hear Christians say that often. And I admit I have said that myself before. But I've repented of that and asked God to forgive me of even mentioning, saying we're not being relevant. Of course we're being relevant if we have the Holy Spirit. God is always relevant. The Holy Spirit's always relevant. We just need to know where He's taking us. We should be following after the Holy Spirit's leading. My plans as lead pastor, again, mean nothing. I can throw a circus outside this church with elephants, with clowns, full of games for the kids, thinking we are reaching hundreds of families and being relevant. We might think we are, but we're just fooling ourselves. Only by following the directions of the vision from the Holy Spirit will make us relevant for people's lives. So I'll only give you one thing to leave here with, which is to catch fire for the vision that God has given this church as we head towards the fall months. So how do you do that? You need to pray. You need to continue. If there's anything I ask of the congregation, I mean, of course I want you all to serve, but I know you're not going to serve unless you pray and receive that revelation from God. So pray. You know, our prayer meeting has been dwindling lately, and I realize that some people just can't make it on a Wednesday night. I realize that. But if you can, come. And if you can't, would you remember to pray on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock? I know you pray, many of you pray every day, but make a point of praying on Wednesday night for me, for the leadership team, for this church, for every person in this church. But mainly pray that the Holy Spirit, as we sang that last song, rains down on us. We need the Holy Spirit. This church will not be successful without the Holy Spirit's leading. I can't emphasize that enough. God has been really pressing that on my heart. Because we can do, I sit with the leadership team and we make plans all the time. What good is that if the Holy Spirit's not leading us? We need the Holy Spirit. So I challenge you to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church, Lord. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank that your hand is upon us, Lord, that you're leading us, that you've given us the vision of what to do to reach new people, to reach all families who you put in our path, all generations. Lord, help us to make new disciples. We can't do it by ourselves, Lord. We need you to show us. We need your power. We need your leading, Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I do pray that your Spirit will rain down on us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit within each of us that have put our faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Be with us as we go about the week to serve you better. Be with those who are not here with us. I know there's a lot of people on vacation and camping and so forth. Lord, be with those families, Lord. Protect them. Lord, continue. We do continue to pray for Ben that your anointing will be upon him to continue to lead him to where you want him to go. In Jesus' name, amen.